AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Buonasera, everybody out there. Welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast channel. On this episode of the Milan Weekly Podcast, well, ladies and gentlemen, what cost Milan the win versus Sassuolo? That's our question. That's what we're going to discuss tonight because it was not a pleasant watch. Sassuolo, still the boogeyman team for Milan at the San Siro. Me and Stevie P, we're going to talk all of it. Of course, we got Fubu and the rest of City are also on our plate. We have rumors coming out. We have discussions. We have a new contract on the table being signed. There's so much going on with Milan, and their mercato is right around the window. Listen, and Christmas is just around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. So please make sure, if you haven't already, you got to do us a favor. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure you have the notification bell on so you can be up to date with all the times we're dropping new videos. Please smash the like button. Leave a comment if you're watching or listening later. And of course, if you want to help support the channel, follow us on Patreon. And the super chats are open. Steve, this one hurts, man. This one hurts again. It's a pain and a Sassuolo, all right? And my Sassuolo is fucking enlarged today, Steve. You ready?
Let's go. Let's bring it.
Well, it'd be nice if we're ready and we're here. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's me, Fabio, filling in for Vinny T tonight, of course, with Stevie P. Welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the time when you need Stevie and me. This is the time because we're asking questions, because there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And ESPN is on it too. All right. What cost Milan the win versus Sassuolo? We have a live poll going on right now on our YouTube channel, so make sure you hit which answer. We're going to get to it later on in the show. Stevie, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm a bit pissed off. I won't lie. I'm a bit pissed off.
Understandable. Understandable, because there's a lot of upsetting things, and we're going to review it. We're going to review it. Yeah, it's very important phrase I'm using there, because VAR was in overdrive this weekend, and of course we had to have a little bit of the brunt of it. So let's get into the game. Milan 2, Sassuolo 2. Jesus Christ, right? So let's get into the game, Steve, right? Why do we feel like, you know, this has been a bright start to the season, right? But this is something very familiar to us as Milan fans. This, again, not having a great start, having to take an early goal and now dig up the fight, the grinta in there to turn the game around. But what were your thoughts? You saw, okay, obviously we're thin up front. How many choices do we really have? You know, we're playing Nkunku, we're playing Pulisic. They're the two healthy forwards that we have. We don't really have a choice to play anybody else. Midfield, Loftus-Cheek filling in for an injured Fofana. But we're going the usual across the board, and obviously the back. So why can't we stay sharp early? Why did it look like we were kind of having some positive in the beginning of the game, yet we still ended up 1-0 down?
I think it's they have lapses in concentration at the most inopportune time. And again, I'm not going to take anything away from the Sassuolo goal, because I think it was well played. I think, you know, Milan was a little bit caught on the back foot, sleeping, not thinking that Sassuolo would be able to pull, you know, a combination play like that off. And the finish was actually very, very well taken. You know, and I'm not going to, usually it's the American who we're talking about all the time, and it's Christian Pulisic. Today we have no choice, but we're going to talk about the Canadian, because Ismael Koné, for a finish like that, from a midfielder who's generally not supposed to be a goal scorer, that's a striker's finish, right? So against a very good goalkeeper. So I'm not going to take anything away from Sassuolo and their goal. I just find that Milan, they start, and if they can generate a chance, what happens is they sit back. We try to absorb pressure, and more often than not, and we've seen in the past two games, you know, against Torino, we talked about it, right? We talked about it, and we said, guys, it's bittersweet. It's nice that we won 3-2. It's nice that we took this cat out of the bag. It's nice that we collected the 3 points, but the 3 points hid a lot of the defects that, you know, Milan had during that Torino game. And they showed up again against Sassuolo. And this is us trying to repeat the same recipe, hoping for a different result, but it's either a Magic Mike save that saves us and we escape with 3 points, or, you know, a last minute goal by Pulisic coming in sick, or we drop points to Sassuolo.
It just seems like it's the similar story in regards to we just keep dropping points to these promoted sides from this year. Obviously, we know Pisa. We know, what was the other game I'm losing?
Cremonese.
Cremonese, the first one, the worst one as far as I'm concerned. And then again, Sassuolo this weekend. It just doesn't seem to, these newly promoted B teams, they come up and they're getting the best of us, but we're able to hang or dominate the teams that are at the top of the table. It's just very strange, right? So listen, not to take away anything from Cornet, but there's some like defensive responsibilities that were clearly not there. And I hate to ruffle Gio's feathers, but Gabbia kind of looks really bad on the first goal, no?
Yes, absolutely. Gabbia looks like a statue. He looks absolutely not ready to play, not ready to... Was he even injured even at that point? We don't know, right? And I'm not going to make excuses. I think he just got caught really off guard, really, you know, in a position that a defender, especially a central defender, cannot be caught in, and which is flat-footed, right? You see that he has almost no bounce, no speed to even get up to even challenge Kone, right? So, look,
and he's flying past him at that point.
Exactly. It was a bang-bang. It was a bang-bang play. And again, it's really hard to get to those bang-bang plays, but you cannot be flat-footed like that. Just Milan looked flat on that first goal. And as soon as we see that first goal, I can bet you that every Milanista out there said, here we go again.
Yeah, I felt that way. But we almost were able to turn it around pretty quickly because Rabiot gets an unbelievable chance where he steals the ball because he's pressing and he shoots it so hard. Oh, my God. The goalie saves it, and he kind of almost gets the legs taken out from him at that point. I was hoping, oh, I hope Rabiot's okay. But in comes David. Grande David. All right, the Bartosaghi coming out party happened on Sunday at 6:30 for me. You know, maybe 3:30 for our friend Gio. But Bartosaghi, man, two goals on either side of the half just turned the game around. Now, let's talk about the first goal, because the first goal is a nice cross by Loftus-Cheek, and he finds the way. The only thing I'd say that kind of bothered me, Steve, is that this goal was early in the game. You still have plenty of time. These guys didn't even go over. This was first goal. You know what I mean? You think celebrate with the kid, give us a love. No, they're like, we're back at the line, bro. Hurry up. Let's go. We got to get back into this. So, I mean, what were your thoughts when you saw Bartosaghi scored the first goal?
I've been screaming for someone to be at the back post of these crosses for about 10 games now. 10 games, we need to start creating something different. And, you know, Bartosaghi was able to sneak in on the on that left-hand side and you know, slot home this cross from that Ruben Loftus-Cheek invented. Was it a shot? Was it a cross? We'll give him the benefit of the doubt that it was a cross. For me, it was always important that he played. You know, I understand the Stupinente. I understand the signing. The problem is that we need, and, you know, Italy and Serie A need more David Bartosaghi.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they need to give these kids a chance. There will be a rocky road. It will be, you know, it will be something very difficult to navigate for these Italian teams, but for their future, I think it's important. And again, I don't want to segue into this because you guys know how I feel about us loaning out Camarda to Lecce. For fuck's sakes.
He was in the stands actually during this game.
But you loan out Camarda to Lecce for him to play. And he's either not playing, he's either coming in at the 60-something minute or getting 30 minutes, or, you know, at a certain point, I think we saw him play left wing. Like, he's not a left winger. We didn't loan him out for you guys to experiment with him. We loaned him out for him to get minutes, right? And whether it's minutes where he's scoring goals or minutes where he's just playing, we loaned him out to you for him to get minutes. If he was not going to get minutes, we were going to keep him. This is a fail, but, you know, taking a Stupinente, and because he has that brain fart, right, against Parma, now we get to see what being patient with players like Bartezagli, the reward that you get by being patient.
Absolutely. And not just once, but you see it twice. And boy, on the second goal, do we need to get something productive from Nkunku, right? And again, it's a nice pass by, of course, our favorite defender, Pavlovic / striker. He makes a nice pass, which Nkunku is able to control it and quickly turn the ball into Bakhtasagi, who takes a beautiful low shot. I mean, Steve, this is the best performance he's had of his young career. No, I mean, again, two-goal game. He's never done anything like that. It's clearly his best game of his career. I would just ask, right, do you think he's been doing enough? And if he, you know, if you kind of follow this trajectory, would you say it would be a major misstep that he doesn't get a call-up in March?
I think he deserves a call-up. I think he deserves, you know, there's a 26, 28-man roster there. There's going to be some space for some young guys to get a chance, to get a sniff of what it is going to feel like to be at a World Cup if Milan qualifies. So, absolutely. I think he should get, you know, it doesn't look like everybody else at left back is outplaying him right now.
Yeah,
you know, DeMarco had a little bit, which is our best left back, whether we want a wing back, whether we want to admit it or not, has not been playing fantastic football up until just a recent last couple of games. He's been able to be fully fit and be able to complete 90 minutes. But I think, you know, Bartezagli is a different project. He's a different aspect of what we're used to seeing at that left wing back position. Usually they're smaller and quicker. Now you're seeing this guy, he's a bit taller. He kind of almost looks like a little bit like Bastoni as a left wing back, right? So it brings another dimension to Italy. And again, to Milan as well. Like, you see that if you give him the reins to go forward, he will go forward. And this is what they wanted to buy a Stupinente for, because they said, well, we need to replace Theo Hernandez's goals. Let's go get someone else who did it in the English Premier League. Guys, in the English Premier League, whether you want to believe it or not, the football sucks. It sucks of ass. Today, Manchester United and Bournemouth, 4-4, guys. I'm sorry. That's half a football game. You understand? It's terrible soccer, whether you want to believe it or not. Again, I'm not someone who criticizes just to criticize. 4-4 game, Manchester United Bournemouth was terrible, guys. It was a terrible game. I take a 1-0 game.
I
more
think
than
it
that.
Was interesting. I thought it was quite fun for a neutral. All right, but I hear what you're saying. You might not like the style that they play there, but again, it was exciting to go back. I mean, Manchester United is not the greatest of teams. And I don't follow Bournemouth, but they still have some good players, and the game was exciting. That's all I'm saying. Let's not digress. All right. The point is that our 2-2 wasn't good enough. Okay. And one of the reasons why we get into this particular position, and before I move to the next segment, I just want to ask everybody out there, two goals from Bartezagli. You see what he's been doing. He's clearly the starting left back for us here. There's no way you can go over to Estupiñán over him at the moment. Can't be. But the question is, do you think he's been doing enough that you want him at least on the bench for Italy in the call-up in March? Maybe not necessarily a starter over DeMarco or any of anybody else, but I think if he keeps going on, it's not too crazy to say, yeah, he deserves it. But maybe we are too early. Maybe it's too soon for it. But we want to ask the people in the chat and ask them, all right? Give us your answers if you think maybe he should be called up in March. Now, let's go to the point where I'm talking here. Now, the game ends 2-2. We all know this. But I believe it should have ended 3-2 because Milan has a VAR controversy that is insane, all right? They take away Pulisic's goal off a header from Pavlovic because they say Loftus-Cheek pushed the defender. And I'm telling you, Steve, look, I know it's December, right? Maybe next month or the month after you start getting ready for the Oscars, right? The best actor, supporting actor. But this guy thought he was supporting actor because he was diving and really embellishing himself. And the VAR just, again, the guy doesn't review it himself. He listens to it, listens to the other guy. And before you know it, no goal, taking it back. There wasn't even a VAR review from the referee on the field. What are your thoughts, Steve? Was it
this is Serie A in a nutshell. This week was absolutely pathetic for VAR. It was disgusting. It was so bad. We've lost the plot. The FIGC, the Refereeing Association, needs to be able to take accountability, Fabio, because now it's out of control. And I'm not only sticking to the Milan game, which that was not a foul. I think you need to make these people play. I think there has to be, the same accountability across the board from, you know, people who are reviewing it to what the ref's decision is on the field. You know, we both watch NFL. It has to be clear and obvious in the NFL. It was not clear and obvious here. Make these guys play. And you know what? And I'll jump on that again. There's another one at the end of the game that maybe would have punished Milan again because Pavlovic coming going in crazy on whoever. I think it was...
it was Tomori. Tomori's actually... like the guy's really embellishing it. But again, they never go look at it, right? And Sassuolo's screaming that they think this should be a foul. But it looks more of like Llorente... listen, VAR is one thing, right? Because VAR prevents us from taking a 3-1 lead. But the game changes completely when Llorente comes on the field. Because he damn near by himself turns the game for Sassuolo. He gets his goal in the 77th minute. Which again, Steve, call me crazy. But was this not a carbon copy of the first goal? They did the exact same thing again?
Yes.
So this is what I worry about, right? They are giving other teams the way to beat our defenders. This is going to be, everybody's going to start to easily try to one-touch us past, especially now with, oh my God, I forgot to even mention this part, but Gabbia goes down and we have to introduce De Winter. And my God, he might have been the worst person. He is responsible for Llorente's goal. He is terrible. The whole time he's out on the field. I mean, Llorente was good. And again, he almost scores again later. He bangs off the post. And again, he's abusing De Winter. But like, do you think it's more Milan or just this one player being able to really put himself in the position to dictate the game?
I think it's a bit of both there, Fabio. I think it's a bit of Milan static and, you know, De Winter not playing a lot. I think the last time he played was against Lazio. And that Coppa Italia, it didn't look good either, right? So
no.
We're seeing the lack of depth on Milan, whether we like it or not. One competition once a week out of Coppa Italia, you know, these guys are not getting a lot of minutes. You know, to be fair to De Winter, he just started getting some minutes. You know, Allegri loves Gabbia, Tomori, and Pavlovic, and you know, they've not come off unless for injury. But I think he's got to start thinking of maybe someone else other than De Winter at that center back position. He's got to also think about getting some of these guys minutes because, you know, Modric looked gassed this game. So did Rabiot. I know we only play once a week, but the problem with this is that we need to have Ricci and even Vince Tavernais from Belgium, from Denmark, from Sweden, wherever he is, Yashiri. We need to have him on a couple of minutes as well, because guys, this is the dog days, right? It's where you're dropping points and you're letting people, you know, just leapfrog you over for absolutely no good reason. It's against Sassuolo. That's why it hurts the most. You know, we're lucky with the other results that we'll talk about in the FUBU recap that it wasn't worse than it was, because it could have been worse. But in a nutshell, you know, Fab, the VAR changes the game. And we've always said it, you know, the best ref is the ref that lets the players play and the field talk. And right now with VAR, especially in Serie A, the field is not talking. Because, you know, we'll talk about it later in regards to Napoli-Udine. That was a fucking telenovela of bullshit VAR calls. Bullshit VAR calls that absolutely do a disservice to the game. Not a service, a disservice. VAR was supposed to be introduced to do a service to the game. A service to the ref. Guys, the refs are not reffing anymore. The refs are scared to make a call. The linesmen are scared to call offsides. It's getting to a point that it's becoming comical, and never in my life would I have thought this, or never in my life would I thought I would have been able to say this, but I'm starting to think maybe VAR is not the best idea.
I mean, you need some sort of review, but you need a constant procedure of when you're going. You need to, if you called it on the field, that's what you're going with, or go to the camera, look at it quickly. It doesn't need to be a 4 or 5 minute. Do we look at it? Do we not look at it? What's going on? Let Fernando finish his cigarette. Let's hurry up. I can't enjoy goals anymore because when it happens, you worry about a random VAR call coming out of nowhere. I agree. If you didn't call the foul on the buildup to begin with, don't go back and look at it now. The VAR is not looking about a foul. It's looking about whether the goal was on sides or did it cross the line. That's it. No more. No more of this. Oh, there was a foul on 31 who sneezed on the other player, so we're calling it back now 3 minutes ago. No, it's too much. It's too much the way they're doing it. But we want to ask you guys, was VAR the turning point or was it Llorente? His introduction seemed to change the whole game for Sassuolo. Obviously, we have a couple of chances still. There's a great chance by Rabiot, right? It's not really by him. It's Loftus Cheek. His header is about to go over the line, possibly. Maybe not. But Rabiot gets the last touch. VAR looks at it, takes it away. And, you know, they had to make Mike make a sick save, too. Mike came up big, had his magic moment as well. But in the end, it's really like the way I was thinking about it, Steve, and I don't know if Vinny really agreed with me when I was mentioning it on Sunday when I was cooking bacon. You know, I was doing breakfast and talking to the boys, right? It's always the same thing. The same story with us this year. We have injuries, but it's because we also never addressed the biggest position that we're lacking, which is the number nine. We tried to fill it with Nkunku for $40 million. It doesn't seem it was right. Jimenez has been hurt for God knows how long, and we're going to talk more about him later. But what are we thinking here? How come we have nobody? We went into the game yesterday legitimately saying it's Pulisic and Nkunku, nobody else on the bench. How could we be like this? And this in turn goes back to Allegri. Allegri, early in the preseason, he kept saying he had a vision of, what was it, Steve? Like 17, 18 players, not even a full two set of 11. And now you see, as soon as one or two injuries start to happen, we have no depth. And I would say the depth is one of the reasons why certain other players look like they're starting to stall out a little bit, despite having a great beginning of the season, because depth provides two things, right? It provides competition, which I think is 100% important, and making sure the caliber of your players stays up. Because what good is depth if the player behind you is a bum? You could just keep doing what you got to do, right? And then the second thing is it provides these moments where there are injuries with so many games going in and out. They need to have depth. So, okay, does it have to be Gambia? Does it have to be Pavlovich? Does it have to be Tomori every game? I could find good things if I see, no, Pavlovich has to come out because this guy has to play because he's just as good. So what's going on? So, Steve, I mentioned number nine, but I start to go back to Allegri, his substitutes, the timing of them. What are your overall thoughts of the number nine issue and the way Allegri approached this game? Because I think this game, again, the slow starts, they needed to stop buckling back, stop playing this defensive shell. You needed to get a third goal. And it's like as soon as the VAR took away that third goal, they kind of, okay, we'll defend now for another 20 minutes, and it wasn't good.
It wasn't good, and again, this is Milan not being able to kill off games, right? And this has been, you know, other teams that you see maybe that are ahead of us in the schedule maybe do a better job of killing off the games, because if it's 4-0, there's no way that Sassuolo's getting back into this game, right? So the problem is for whatchamacallit, a lot of people need to be accountable for what we didn't address in the summer mercato. And that is, you know, a lack of depth on defense, right? We needed another center back. We might get one soon. He's going to be an older one, but we might get one soon.
We're going to talk about that.
And they rolled the dice and believed in Jimenez. I believe it. I believe that they either wanted to get rid of Jimenez and couldn't. Wanted to do that little swap with Roma, which was a very bad idea. Very, very bad idea. Thank God that didn't happen. But in reality, we've been searching for a striker for quite some time, and just, you know, we haven't had the chance to get a true number nine that, you know, ticks off all the boxes. We've been trying to replace them with, you know, people that
Giroud,
we have.
Giroud was the last one that we have.
And again, he was up there in age. And at this point, we might as well have kept him, to be honest with you, because he would have probably still been the best number nine we have.
He's doing pretty good at Lille still.
Yeah.
Coming out of, there's a lot of players that sometimes come out of the MLS and stuff like that. They need 6 months, and that could have been with us, you know, God forbid. But I think it's a problem we're going to address, and we're going to talk about it more, right? I just would say, overall, right, if you look at this game, obviously top is easy with Bartosaghi, right? But who do you go with your second top? Because Bartosaghi is number one. You can't take it away from him. But who do you think had the second best performance? I know it's hard. It's a hard one.
I was really disappointed in everybody. It's hard to pick who was the second best player on a team that drops points against Sassuolo. For me, Fabio
was okay.
Yeah, look. Again, we're not going to say no. We're not going to say the midfield was bad. Rabiot had some chances. Modric had a very quiet game for his standards. Yeah, we can say Loftus-Cheek, you know, but even we needed a big game from Pulisic. And, you know, I don't understand Allegri's substitution of him, especially if you have no one else to bring on.
Yeah.
I can't really pick someone else other than Loftus-Cheek getting the assist on Bartosaghi's goal, because pretty much there was nothing else. If we're getting the 3 points, maybe someone else would have stood out. You know, yeah, we would have got that third goal, and it would have been Pulisic who said, you know, we had a good game, but we needed him. We needed a big-time game from Pulisic, and just didn't have it, didn't have the legs.
Who you go with your flop of the match, though?
For me, flop of the match has to be Gabbia. I think, you know, Gabbia, Tomori, Pavlovich on the goals didn't look really dynamic. Didn't look like they were really waiting, for something to materialize or to do something a little bit better. Guys, we have a major problem. We can't score goals, and we let in too many goals against smaller teams. This is an issue, guys. It's an issue because these are the differences between winning the Scudetto and losing the Scudetto. Against Pisa, Cremonese, and now Sassuolo, the three promoted teams. Total 9 points possible.
Not good.
We have two.
Two. That's not good.
That's 7 points, Fabio. Add 7 to our total right now.
Oh, my God. We'd be 6 points up. Easy.
And again, it's very easy to sit here and criticize. And
Pulisic makes that penalty against Juve. Now we're 9 points up.
Well, obviously, we don't drop the points against Parma. We can do this all day, right?
We can go all day with this, all right?
All day. But the thing is that everybody drops points from time to time. I'm okay with that, you know? We'll talk about Napoli dropping points against Udine, right? The thing is that it's away from home, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, it's away from home. Honestly, but these three teams, we played them at home, Fabio. We still have to play them away.
Oh, my God, that's right.
They're all home games.
Again, the San Siro's, like, it just hasn't been like a home field advantage for us for some of these games. And it's just so disappointing, man, because we could be. So it just shows how close we are to really being at that next level. We just keep having these little hiccups. But I don't know. I got faith, Steve. I got faith. That's all I'm saying. I got faith. I haven't given up yet. We're only 1 point behind those bums in blue and black. So to me, let's get into the next one, Steve. This segment is brought to you by Football Canada, the home for, Serie A and the Premier League, where you can also listen to Serie A in Italian. Steve, let's go. Let's start the first game that went was Lecce hosting Pisa. And these two bottom-of-the-barrel clubs here, of course, Lecce gets a big 3 points, gets the win. This is 6 points up on Pisa now. Any thoughts on Lecce winning 1-0 here?
Lecce, play Camarda. That's the only reasons why I tune in.
Yeah, and they didn't. They did. They started him, but he didn't do anything. They got Stolic, got the 72nd minute winner. It was his first goal for Lecce. Next game was Torino and Cremonese. Cremonese probably should have got, honestly, VAR came into play in this game as well. Should have got the point. Vardy actually has a great assist, but his teammate does not finish it. But Torino gets the important 1-0 victory. They checked, like I said, on a VAR, and there was a clear handball. For some reason, they didn't call it. They still didn't call it. I don't know what they were checking in progress, but Torino getting a valuable 3 points. What were your thoughts?
I think Torino was very lucky to come away with the 3 points because they had chances to put this game away. Cremonese was just absorbing. And, you know, they got lucky with VAR not calling that handball on Giovanni Simeone, which we've seen much worse. We've seen VAR been called for much less than what we saw Giovanni Simeone do in the box. And again, if you want to say Pavlovich's handball versus Lazio is a penalty shot, Giovanni Simeone's handball in Torino Cremonese is a penalty shot. I think both should not be a penalty shot. So this, for me, was the right call for
them. I think they got screwed on that one. Let's go to the next game. Next game, very interesting, despite not too many trompete. And don't worry, I didn't forget it. Let's play it for him, of course. But the one goal seemed to be valuable. But before we got there was a lot of drama. This game was actually quite fun to watch. Parma and Lazio, both a bunch of chances, but the game changes when Lazio gets an ESPN update. And it turns out that Zaccagni gets a straight red card in the 42nd. Then, not only is that, they get another straight red by my boy, what's his name? Basic. But they call him Bastic or whatever. But Basic gets a straight red card for a stupid elbow he throws into the defender's midsection. He gets immediately thrown out. Now they're down to 9 men and still somehow off incredible work from Nasser to steal the ball. He goes around the keeper, gets away from the other defender while the other defender's just falling on his ass. And he puts it in, gets the 82nd winner for Lazio. Unbelievable. What were your thoughts on this game?
My thoughts were, how did we drop points to Parma? This was a terrible game by Parma. I could not understand what they were doing with 2 men up. Credit to Lazio. Credit to Lazio because they had to deal with the stupidity of one being their captain and the other one being just a dummy. Because you're already a man down. Why would you even want to venture in this elbow range, especially with this VAR and how Jekyll and Hyde VAR is? But credit to Lazio because Parma, was in a giving mood and they gave them this game. They gave them the 3 points. For them, even a tie was going to be a loss in this game because you cannot, at the professional stage, Fabio, be 2 men
11-9, I mean,
and not even generate anything. I think maybe really Provadel had to make maybe 1 stop or 2 stops.
He did in the second half. Yeah. He did make
didn't have much more to do than that. And, at the end, you see the Parma players going to the fans and clapping. Oh, you guys, if the Parma fans didn't throw you a Parmigiano Reggiano all in the head, a big wheel at $500, I'm sorry, when was the game to throw them the wheel of cheese? This was absolutely disgraceful by Parma. I can't believe Milan dropped points to them.
Well, then the next game, Atalanta gets the victory over my favorite team, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, 2-1 over Calgary and Scamacca. Beautiful back heel goal in the 11th minute off Zappacosta's shot, redirects it with a little back heel. Now, again, it's another great equalizer for Calgary. Gaetano and Esposito, again, another Inter loanee there. They one touch in the box in the 75th minute to tie the game before Scamacca gets his winner in the 81st minute. But your thoughts on Atalanta winning here?
Apparently another flu game, this time for Scamacca, not feeling well. C'è un pochino di febbre, and he scores 2 goals. I think Scamacca with the rejuvenation of a new Atalanta coach and maybe a new system, I think Scamacca is going to play an important role in what we see in March. If he can keep the form and stay healthy, and be engaged, because it looks businessman-like from Scamacca right now. He's scoring. He understands that, he needs to put in the effort, needs to put in the work rate. I think Scamacca plays a big part in March. Him and Retegi up front is going to give Italy a different dynamic if they can both stay healthy and both be available.
And especially with that front three of Lookman, Scamacca, and Di Cattolera, they are a good squad up front, Atalanta. Definitely can do damage. Obviously, Milan 2-2 against Sassuolo there. Let's go on to the next one. Fiorentina, the hits just keep on coming. This poor team, they can't even score their own goals either. Their only goal is from an own goal. Verona scored all 3 goals in this game.
Yeah.
But you know what, Fiorentina, they thought probably that they were going to at least walk away with a point here. But Verona, Orban gets a double, gets his goal late too in the 93rd minute to steal all 3 points. And Fiorentina is just spiraling still.
Yes, Fiorentina is bad. Apparently, they've given their coach the dreaded confirmation. They've confirmed their coach, the Banchina Salva, which obviously means that he's going to be losing his job in about 1 or 2 weeks. But Fiorentina cannot continue like this. You know, we talked about it the other time. It's bad for Fiorentina. Not one win. You know, match day 15, we have some problems.
We're going to look at the table in just a little bit. But next game really shook up the table here. Udinese hosting Napoli. And, well, this is the VAR game here, all right? Because there only ends up being one goal, and I'll play the trumpet when we get there. But Keenan Davis gets one of his goals, gets a goal taken away due to a review from offside from VAR. Then there's like a ton of chances. Zaniolo, he gets a goal from VAR disallowed for a foul that happened God knows where.
It's a foul. It's not even a foul. If you see, I've watched it 100 times. There's no foul on Lobotka. There's no foul on Lobotka, Fabio. They invented a foul.
They had to. This is what we're talking about, how they use VAR. That is not the appropriate way of using VAR. Again, Udinese is still 0-0 at this point, trying hard to find goals, but they keep getting taken away. What's his name? Ellenkamp. This guy shoots a ball that says, take it away if you dare, VAR. Yeah. There was no way they take that one away. Gets the 1-0 lead. But let's not cry for Napoli, because they had two good chances. One, Holland, whatever the hell his name is, this guy has an unbelievable header in the box. Actually, excuse me, not a header. Just has to tap away. Just tap it in. Right. Like Chubb said, just tap it in, and he hits it over the net. Then Luca gets a chance. He hits the post in the dying moment. Napoli loses 1-0. Go ahead.
I didn't like Napoli in this game. I didn't like their body language. I think that they were still, you know, rambling from the loss in the Champions League against Benfica. This was one of those lingering games that really set Napoli back. And again, of course, why not have two bad games and then, you know, face Milan in the Super Cup semifinal?
Exactly. Maybe they just need a third bad game in a row, Steve. How about that? All right, let's go to the next one. Give them a little horn here, just to themselves. Inter defeat Genoa 2-1. Of course, they get two early goals. Bisseca at 6, then Martinez at the 38th minute. They start to get a little worried when Vitinha gets one back in the 68th minute. They look like they're just waiting for the equalizer to come. But lucky for them, the final whistle comes, get all 3 points. Your thoughts on Inter winning and jumping to the top of the table?
That's the difference. You know, Sassuolo comes back and ties the game against Milan. Inter takes a 2-0 lead and does not give it up. That's the difference.
Again, not an exciting match in regards, but they get the 3 points. That's all that matters. Now, the next game, Bologna-Juventus. This game, again, has a little controversy too, but most of the game is in the second half. Cabal gives Juve the 1-0 lead in the 64th minute, and even Bologna ends up getting a red card in the 69th minute, has to finish the game the last 20 minutes on 10 men. Not much they really offered. What are your thoughts on Juve taking the 3 points here?
This is a boring game. A la Juve, a la Spalletti, it's the only way that Juve can get these points, especially nowadays. I was a bit disappointed in Bologna. I thought they would bring more. Playing at home, I thought they would bring the game to Juventus, you know, having Juve play midweek as well in the Champions League. I expected more from Bologna. I think Juve run away with the 3 points.
Well, last game was today's game. Young and up-and-coming Como went to Roma to visit Roma. And Roma, I didn't know, but my mother Franca plays on the team and got the winning goal in the 60th minute, 1-0. So we'll give Roma a little trompetta there. But what are your thoughts on getting a valuable 3 points for Roma, staying there at the top four?
As we'll look at the, you know, watching this game, honestly, I think Cuomo were lucky that it would only end at 1-0. I think Cuomo came to Roma thinking that they wanted to play a particular way. Roma's very stingy defensively, but created a lot of chances, and you know, Roma didn't capitalize on the chances that they had. A big difference, same as Milan in other games, especially against the bigs. They kept it 1-0. They walk away with the 3 points. You know, in a type of game like that for Milan, Como would have ended up tying it up, right? So it's, again, the little things that are different and, you know, worrisome for us looking at Milan play against Sassuolo is how fine the margins are between 3 points and dropping 2 points.
All right, let's look at the table now. Obviously, Inter staying in first place at 33 points. Milan 1 point behind in second at 32. Napoli sitting third with 31. Roma still there, 3 points off first in fourth place. Juve 26. We have a nice gap right now. Right now, this is what, you know, again, those anti-management and Redbird and ownership and everybody else that the... We are playing for top four, right? Well, at the moment, we're sitting pretty good, at least to be positioning ourselves that top four shouldn't be a problem for us. But let's not lose sight. We're looking for La Seconda Stella. That's what we're looking for. We want the second star, being only 1 point off, 15 weeks in. It's not anything to be upset about. We just have to iron out these mistakes we seem to be having and reinforce the team in just the coming weeks. Lazio. Actually, let's continue on. Juve in fifth, Bologna 6, Como 7, Lazio there at 8. Even with their issues, Lazio still right there, only a few points off being at least in the position to playing in Europe. Como's still kind of, I don't want to say the surprise, but still top 7, pretty good for them. But the bottom, Verona, Pisa, Fiorentina, 4 points off Pisa and 6 points behind Verona. This is worrisome. And 8 points behind Parma. I don't know. Are you already of the belief that 15 weeks in, Fiorentina is a dead man walking? They're dead. They're in huge trouble, if not just dead already.
Fiorentina's in huge trouble. There's no other way to say it. They need to string results together. You know, losing against Verona, which is, you know, to Verona, which is, let's say, a relegation rival. Not great, you understand? So, like, if they would have won this game, it would have been, what, 9-9-10?
That's a six-point swing right there.
Exactly. Oof. You know, so looking at the table, for me, what Lazio's doing with absolutely no mercato and still being in eighth place, yes, their football is absolutely boring, but it's almost a miracle to be in eighth place. Como, again, big surprise. For me, I'm really surprised that Atalanta and... you know, Atalanta in 12th. That's something that I did not expect, especially 15 weeks in. It might change. And again, another pleasant surprise is Sassuolo, 21 points, right? So.
And Cremonese in 20, only 1 point and behind Cremonese, them. You see, those are the two of the three that you seem to be taking Serie A to the next level, which is good. But Pisa, that might be the odd man out. But that's the standings after 15 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. Undoubtedly going to change. Don't be riding home. All right. We're not even at the winter champions just
exactly. Il campione d'inverno è solo il campione d'inverno.
All right. That was the FUBU segment sponsored by FUBU Canada, where you can watch Serie A and the Premier League. All right, Stevie, let's get to our next topic, right? Because we had some news. Alexis Salamakis is one of the first players to sign an extension. He's been playing fairly well this year, despite a few hiccups here or there in the last couple of weeks. But he gets signed a new contract to 2031. Going to be possibly putting him on a $3 million per year when he was sitting at 1.5. So obviously it's a bit of an upgrade. But then the conversation immediately starts to go back to Pulisic, Maignan. These are the two guys that most of the contracts have been spoken about. Obviously, Maignan is more present, being that the fact he is on his last year. Pulisic is still controlled for one more year with a player option or team option for a possible year after that. So what are your thoughts in signing Salamakis again? And do you think the team is starting, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, to get Mignon to a position that even if he decides not to stay past this year, maybe he could sign that contract and do us a favor? So maybe if we have to sell him, we can get big money for him. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. But what are your thoughts on this scenario?
I think management has to not make the same mistakes that we've made in the past. We cannot lose someone of Mike Maignan's caliber for $0. It's just bad business, right? And Milan, unfortunately, throughout the years have been plagued with complete bad business. Look, I'm not going to take any credit. I'm going to give all the credit to Nonna Lacrima. She told you. Salamaker, when he followed the recipe, everything is good. And he has to follow the recipe. This last couple of weeks, you said he's been doing some hiccups, right? It's because he's trying to do a bit too much. He's trying to go away from that recipe that we spoke about. But the recipe for him worked, especially the first, you know, let's say 11 to 12 games of the season. He was doing what he does best, which is simple, you know, get in dangerous positions, be able to distribute the ball, play off the wing, cut, you know, be that inverted wing back that we need in the midfield from time to time. Exactly. On the right, on the left, depending who comes in. For me, I think it's a good signing. I think he's someone who paid his dues, came to Milan, was probably a little bit immature, and the team was probably immature for Salamakers at that time. Went
he's
out on
veteran
loan.
Present now.
Exactly. Went out on loan to Bologna and then Roma, and then comes back, and now he's da Milan in terms of, like, you know, he understands what it means to be a Milanista. Is he the most super talented wing back that we've ever had in our lives? Absolutely not. Is he anywhere close to Cafu, Jankulowski, and so on and so forth? Absolutely not. But those players are gone and far seen these days.
At least he's the type of player that likes to take on a defender one-on-one, which we are sorely missing having more. I can't just be Leao and Pulisic only. You know, again, you need players like Salamakis. He's very dynamic. I think he's done enough and been a great soldier. Only $3 million a year. For God's sakes, need I remind you, we're still paying $4 million to Origi.
Yeah, he doesn't even I think play. $3 million is digestible. I think it's digestible. Oh, I think it's a good contract. I think it had a little bit more term so that they can keep it low. I think it's smart.
This next thing, I don't know how smart it is. Nicholas Falkrug.
Falkrug. Fuck you. I'm done with this fucking shit. I knew you guys were going to do this today. You were going to put another fucking guy who fucking looks weird and we want to take him as our number 9. I'm fucking fed up with this bullshit, Fabio. I don't want to take chances on people anymore. Fucking spend the money, Christ. You know, I'm always the guy who says, you know what, let's give them a chance. Let's give them a chance. But at the number 9 position, Fabio, I am absolutely fucking fed up of giving people a chance. It's enough now. Make him. He had a chance. Where is he? At fucking stupid EPL West Ham? Is that where he's at? He fucking can't score goals in that fucking garbage league. He's going to come to Serie A and he's going to actually try to score goals against people who actually defend? we have a problem, Fabio.
I have to see what is. Oh my God, he's got 0 goals.
Yeah.
0 goals.
But that's why I knew it. I saw the pictures in the chat today. I knew this was going to come up. I don't want these people, Fabio. I'm sorry.
He scored 3 goals last year.
No. Like, no. No, 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 no. We can't afford these things. We can't afford.
And to be honest, are you sure they're even going to, like, purchase the correct players? I'm worried that. If you spent $40 million on Nkunku and you didn't even know how you were really going to implement them into the system you were using, I'm a little worried that we're ever
going to... That's the fucking problem, Fabio, okay? The $40 million for Nkunku is because fucking Friulani, okay, is jerking off someone at Chelsea. It's basically to do them a favor, right? Allegri didn't seem like he wanted him, and the rumor is Ilya Tari wasn't even very happy about that signing. But isn't that the fucking problem? What is the accountant doing making purchases for the club?
I don't know why.
I'm sorry.
If he's the one pushing these and Tata is not like a big fan. I mean, even in the fact of keeping Jimenez, if you weren't even 100% sold on him, you're doing that because of the previous year's investment that you don't want to look stupid on. But now we got to the point, Jimenez is hurt. He's not available. We don't know when he's coming back. There's even a rumor, Steve, that they're purposely keeping Jimenez out so he doesn't hurt his stock, so they could try to loan him out in January.
Yeah, but now the problem is that now Jimenez says that his ankle hurts and went and have some kind of fucking second opinion in Holland, and not by himself, Fabio, with the fucking doctor from Milan, who confirms that if he decides to get fucking operated, which he won't, because that's going to fuck him up for the World Cup. So he won't get operated. He won't get operated. You mark my words, he won't get operated. It doesn't hurt that bad. You know what hurts? His fucking stomach hurts. Because he can't put on that Milan shirt, and it's too fucking heavy for him. And now Milan, they say, oh, we fucked up, right? So you're going to see the swap move, right? It's West Ham's going to want Jimenez, and we're going to get Folklore, whatever the fuck his name is.
I hope not, because it doesn't look like he's going to be the answer.
This is what we do, right? This is what Milan has come to. We go for the scrappy seconds of every English Premier League team because we can't fucking make decisions on our own. And we can't let the people that make decisions make the decisions, because the accountant has to get involved. The accountant needs to know his fucking role and fucking do accounting stuff. This is what pisses me off with Milan. My Milan, there's only one guy who was not the direttore sportivo that can make a transfer. And his name was Bonanima Silvio Berlusconi. He's the only one who could have made a transfer other than Adriano Galliani and Braida. Why? Because he was the one who forked out the money, and he was that psychotic to say, I want Ronaldinho, I want David Beckham, I want him. And he went out and he went and fucking get them, Fabio. He paid and he got them.
But we have all these players that this management spent money, especially in the last calendar year. De Winter, Santi Jimenez, Nkunku, even Estupion, which I hate. I don't like adding Estupion there. He's an Ecuadorian. I need him for the World Cup.
No, you need him. You need him to be nice, because the rest your wife will slice your throat.
That's poor words. You can't say that, right? But I just look at this and I say, there's got to be options. And not only at that side, there's defensive options that we need to shore up. And one name that I just want to mention, Thiago Silva, mentioning that now that he's seemingly done with Fluminense, he wants to play maybe 6 months in Europe to get himself ready for the World Cup. So I would say, would you take Thiago Silva as a reinforcement for our defense?
Absolutely.
I would too. I think he's got the, I mean, again, a former Milan champion, just being out there, again, at 40 years old, is it going to be too old? I don't know. What is he, 39, 38? I don't think, is he 40? He's somewhere in the league.
We have another 40-year-old who's not that bad. Thiago Silva played in probably one of the most demanding leagues out there, which is the Brazilian league. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I follow it all the time, but every time I see a Brazilian game, it's physical to the max. The guys are going at 100 miles an hour, and he was still able to play.
For 6 months, it's worth it, Vince. That's all. Vince Mancini's not for it.
It's not forever, Vince. We're not going to be able to get anybody else better, that's for sure. Or you're going to get him, or you're going to get Ramos. That's who you're going to get.
Oh, Ramos is worse. Ramos is worse. We don't want Ramos, honestly, because at least Thiago Silva is putting in 100%. I think Ramos, he's too worried about partying, and I don't know if he'll take it 100%.
And TikToks.
But I would take Thiago Silva because I think it would be important for veteran presence. The guy had been playing serious games for Fluminense the whole summer. So yep. He's still high caliber. Again, this is not the Saudi league. No offense to any Saudi fans out there. But I think the Brazilian and Fluminense, they've been playing high games, and he would be valuable. Again, do you see who we're going with? De Winter? Udogi, whatever his name is, or Udogi, whatever.
Yeah, he didn't even play.
Doesn't even play. So these guys are non-existent. I'm sorry, guys. Gabia, Tomori, Pavlovich, they need people pushing them from behind. Otherwise, it's going to just – Tomori has his brain lapses too. Gabia, now he's possibly a little injured. Maybe God knows how long it's going to be. And then Pavlovich, again, he wants to be a striker half the time. We need other people, all right? It just can't be like this. All right, guys, let's just touch a couple of things before we sign off here. First and foremost, it's Christmas time, guys, all right? So if you have any shirts that you want to look for, if you want to buy any awesome apparel, there's one and only Vintage Pitch. Stevie, tell them they don't need the code. It's perfect for the holiday gifts. Let them know where they can get it.
Holiday gifts, guys, U.S., Canada, you get them this week. You should get them in time for Christmas. Great stocking stuffers, gifts under $50. Guys, they're fantastic T-shirts, passion project, all calcio. Wear the story. Guys, every shirt has a story from club. And we don't have only Milan stuff, guys. I know that I'm a Milan fanatic. We have Lazio. We have Roma. We have Juve. We have Inter Merda. We have, you know, the legends, Buffon, Del Piero, Totti, Cruyff. We have tons of stuff. We have a great new style now where we took the legend and we put him in the back and we have a little silhouette in the front, guys. We have bundles, guys. There's bundles now for your T-shirts, 2 for $40. Guys, check them out, vintagepitch.com. Follow us on social, Instagram at vintagepitch and TikTok at vintagepitchapp, and you will see these beautiful T-shirts. Thank you.
That's right, people. Support the brand that supports the show. All right, guys, let's look at our poll before we get out of here, Steve. What's our poll results of what cost Milan the win against Sassuolo?
Poll results are VAR robbed us 48%, which is the winner. No true number 9, 26%. Allegri subs 7%. Defensive mistakes 19%. The winner, VAR robbed us 48%.
See, I told you that VAR was very active this week, and it was very decisive in tons of games out of 10. Just ridiculous. And all right, so let's get to our final. I just want to say, before we get out of here, right? Well, did you have a feel-good moment, Steve? Because I did. And it came before the game, thank God, right? But let me give you a little bit of what my feel-good moment. Of course, Capitano Baresa was there. And obviously, Baresa dealing with a cancer fight, doing everything he can. Great to see him in the stands, looking healthy, looking all right. I wish the team could have wrapped him up 3 points, but it didn't happen. But that was my feel-good. Did you have that or a Brioschi moment? What did you have this season?
Nice to see Baresi, Capitano Baresi in the stands, that's for sure. Guys, for me, feel-good moment was just, you know, the great games and the great competitiveness of Serie A. Guys, you know, we are the utmost negative when we have to be negative about our league. But guys, 32, 31, 30, guys, these are tight races, guys. It's not the French Premier League where PSG has 19-point advantage. It's not the EPL where, you know, there's going to be a 10-point gap sooner or later. Guys, the Serie A, for all its negativity, has probably one of the tightest races in all of Europe. For me, that's a feel-good story. Can the Serie A do more to make things better? Absolutely. Are we stuck in the Stone Age infrastructurally and VAR-wise? Absolutely. But Serie A, guys, calcio is really alive. It's really something to watch. I would hope that we turn the corner in 2026, especially with this World Cup year, and, you know, and the people at Serie A wake up. But my feel good moment is the competition of Serie A.
Very nice. Very nice. That is the show, everybody. Just to remember, We are going to have a show later in the week on Thursday night, Coast to Coast. We'll be coming live, of course, because we have a big game, the semifinal of the Coppa Italia happening in Saudi Arabia on Thursday, 2 p.m. for us, 11 a.m. for our friend Gio. Of course, if you're in the greater New York area, a little club post, Napoli, Milan, 2 p.m. at the Football Factory, 33rd and 5th Avenue. Go check out the boys. They'll be there. And, of course, just a little program alert. Obviously, if things work out and we win on Thursday and it's a happy Coast to Coast, there will be a show next Monday. If not, next Monday, most likely with no Milan going on, might be a week break. So just stay tuned. If you haven't subscribed already, make sure you hit the like button, share everything. And ladies and gentlemen, not only are we giving you Coast to Coast this week, and we're always coming with the Milan Weekly Podcast on Monday night. You can't forget those. Plus everything else we do for our socials. We have a special Christmas episode dropping this week, so you don't want to miss it. Make sure you're subscribed so you'll get it when it comes live. We're going to have great games, guests, celebrities, Vinny, Steve, me, Gio, Terry. What more do you want, people? It's going to be great. And always, ovunque and sempre, Steve.
Forza Milan!
Forza Milan, everybody. Good night, and we'll see you on Thursday.